So we're in the midst of this series called We Are. If you could put that first slide up, Val, thank you so much. And this series is just to help us, help to center ourselves onto what God is speaking into our church. And I actually was kind of pleased with this. We were able to, I don't know if anyone looks at this stuff, probably not, and it's okay. But for people maybe that don't know us too well, we're able to put some of this information onto our webpage, just kind of explaining to people a little bit more about our church. So I'm very grateful for that, and it really is a good thing. So last week we watched this video, and the end of the video, and a few of you have shared it with me since, but the video, the girl in the video said, "Let's all do our something." And last night, us doing our something was that parade craziness, all right? Well, next time, we have another opportunity. Tomorrow, we have another opportunity so that we can all do our something. You know, we can't do everything on our own. How many of you know that? You know that you can't do everything on your own, right? But together, we can accomplish great things. I'm blowing a bit of my message here, but I saw some of you dancing in the streets of Espanola last night, and man, that is what we're here for. And that was God's people showing their good dance moves. It was awesome. I'll just leave it at that. All right. So this series of messages is to help us identify with who we are as a church. If you ask me, who are we? What do we believe? All those sorts of things. Well, these are some of the answers I would give you. All right. So I want us to identify with this as a church, as a house. For me, this falls into the vision category of the future of our church. What does our church look like? What do we believe is important moving forward? Will these statements that I've made in the previous weeks and today, will they stay true forever? Well, most of them will, because they're from Scripture, and Scripture doesn't change. We know that. But you see, these messages aren't meant, These messages are meant, to bring us together and help us to pull on the same rope at the same time. So the first week we did this, with the message title from the first week was, "We are life and light." And really what that means is that we will be reaching and building and raising people. That's our memory from the first week. Our second one was this, from last week, "We are timeless." And these are the timeless truths of our church and of Scripture, that we believe in the Bible, that we're on mission, that we are a spiritual family, that we're generous people, and that we believe in development, all right? So those are things that are important to us that we believe as a church moving forward. Now, you would say to me, "Pastor Jay, these are things that our church has always believed, or maybe should have always believed," whatever. It doesn't matter. Here's the truth, is that these are timeless things that will not change. They're just who we are as a people. So today we're finishing this series of messages, and as you are hopefully aware, we're starting a new series that takes us from the beginning of Advent, right to the end of Advent, into Christmas Eve, this coming month of December. Can you believe it is December? Craziness. As some of you know, my birthday's in December, I've just realized that the age train is rolling along in my life, and I can't seem to make it stop. And anyways, we'll just leave it there. It's all good. Actually, Arlene is celebrating with her mom's 65th birthday. It's today, so she's celebrating with her. And I don't mean to blow my parents' ages. I don't know if they care. But maybe they do. Arlene's mom may care, so don't tell her. But my dad's birthday is in 2 weeks today, and it's his 60th birthday, so it's exciting times in the Snyder house. And Arlene left and left the boys behind. It's all good. Nothing bad can happen. All right. So good. So great time to be together. December, man. Oh, so good. All right, so I hope these messages have brought us together. You know, here's a thought for you. I can't help but think of the term spiritual family. I can't help but think of that term. We talked about it last week. You see, family can be tough. Don't raise your hands, because I no drama right now. I can't handle anymore. Okay, but family can be tough. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it makes us sad. Sometimes it makes us happy. Family makes us happy. Sometimes family makes us proud. Sometimes spiritual family and family disappoint us. So there's lots of a range of emotions when it comes to our blood family and our spiritual family. A lot of the same feelings exist. I trust that as a family, that we can work through issues together. Amen? Okay. Anyways, thank you, Richard. Man. But let's commit to being in right relationship together. You've heard me say before. This week I was reminded, let's not do these things. Let's not talk behind one another's backs. If you have something to say, go say it to the person that you need to say it to, that it's about. If you don't feel comfortable confronting someone, then don't say it at all. It's really simple / really hard, but it's a simple thought, all right? If you're going to dish out strong words, oh, I love this one. Some people just love to dish out strong words. I learned this a long time ago from West Indians, okay? If you're going to dish it out, you got to be ready to receive it back, all right? Ray knows, all right? That's the honest to goodness truth. So if you're going to, people just love launching grenades up into the air and watching them explode, and then the second that they come back to ourselves, we break down. I've seen people say the nastiest things, and then when you confront them, oh my gosh, like I have people in my family, they just curl up and cry in the corner. Well, you said nasty stuff, get ready, it's coming back, all right? But the truth is, if you're going to say strong words, get ready for it to come back. I was reminded of the abyss that is social media this week. People can post almost anything they want in complete anonymity these days. It's true, you can. I put my name to stuff, but many don't. But church, let's be greater than all of this. This is our spiritual family. If we have a problem or a question for someone, we should ask it, feel comfortable asking it. You see, we should be able to come up to someone and say, hey, this is what I've been working through. This is how I've been feeling. See, church, I hope that we would live by this as a spiritual family. And I'm going to commit to you that I'm going to live by this as well. You're not going to see me do something different than I'm expecting of anyone else. So no slander, no gossip, just peace, hope, and love. And some of you are thinking, Pastor Jay, you are just a hippie. No, no, no. Here's the deal. Some of you remember hippies. I don't. I just remember the fake ones. All right? But anyways, we'll leave it there. You were hippies. Oh, no. Oh, that's so good, Joanne. When I was I got a story now. When I was in ministry school in England, the pastor there would make jokes that their church was made up of all the hippies that did all the drugs and played the crazy music, and then they kicked out the church people out of the church, and the hippies were running the church, and I just thought that was funny. But anyways, and he was a pretty cool guy, but he said things that, anyways, we'll leave it there. He said some stuff. But the truth is that I want us to be a spiritual family. And when we have something to say, we have something that maybe we believe God's put on our heart, just share it. No gossip, no slander. Just love on people. Be honest with people. So today, we're going to end with two things I want you to remember. It's all part of the same message that have already and must continue to mark our church's future. All right? So Val's got it up here. Now, some of you may say this is grammatically incorrect, but I hope you understand where I'm going with this. We are serving power. All right? Now, here's the deal. When I think of serving power, all I can think of is some angry young woman on a volleyball court ready just to smash that volleyball down someone's throat, all right? But we are serving power. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 4. I've got 3 or 4 scriptures today I need you to look at, but here's the first one. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only his own interest, but also to the interest of others. So I want you to really, really look deeply at verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Without being, how can I say this? Without being careful, we can fall prey to this statement. You see, it's much easier to dwell on our own needs than it is to think about others' needs, right? Okay, some of you, okay, let's try over this side later. Okay, so our first point is this. We're just ignoring this side of the room. Our first point is this. Serving. So we're going to start with serving. Look beyond yourself. That's what I want to say to you today. Look beyond yourself. Thinking of someone else's needs before your own is a choice. Now, let's think about this. Think of a mother. A mother's instincts is to care for her offspring, right? Would we agree on that? That would be her instincts, all right? But, we live in a world today where many men and women struggle to care for what's always been natural for humans. Let me explain it a bit. You see, there's complicated reasons. I'm sure that there's some environmental complications. There's some sociological complications, maybe even financial complications for people. But one thing many of us have in common and struggle with is the fact that we need to put another's needs before our own. There's something I've noticed in my generation of parents as we are all aging into the depths of age. Anyways, but one of the things I've noticed is that a lot of us, we don't sacrifice as well as our parents' generation did. And some of you that are my parents' generation be like, yep. Yeah, that's absolutely true. But I've noticed this. We don't sacrifice in the way that our own parents may have sacrificed. Some of us do. It's not a universal truth, but I've noticed that amongst many of us. And it's because many people today are more focused on our own needs instead of the needs of others. That's why it happens. You see, this scripture reminds us, it implores us to look to one another before we look to ourselves. That's what the Bible teaches us, is that we would look to bless someone, to serve someone, to provide for someone else before we look to provide for our own needs. That's what Scripture tells us. I think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. As he was praying at the Mount of Olives, he was so overcome with agony of his upcoming death. He resorted to a time of prayer. And as he was praying, even drops of blood fell from his face, so that he could fulfill his calling. Jesus was in an extreme form of agony in those moments because he was pushing his own needs aside for his people. That's what it was. That's what he was sacrificing in those moments. You see, Jesus makes it clear to us in Scripture that he, the Lord Jesus, came to serve every single one of us. Quite literally. Every single one of us is who he came to serve. Just like him, we must put the priority of our life onto serving. You see, Jesus sets the example of looking beyond ourselves to see God do amazing things through us for others. There's a new TV show on one of the many streaming platforms that apparently are coming out. I won't name it because I don't want to promote them. Anyways, but there's a new TV show, and it's about people in space, and it's a different history on the events that took place in the 60s with the space race. Anyways, and it's interesting because one of the things as these astronauts go through the story, yada, yada, is that they always come back to how small the Earth's problems look like from space. How small the problems appear to be so far off. And the truth is that when we get a different perspective on our life, we remove ourselves from the troubles, yes, the troubles that we may have, but we gain a whole new perspective on how God wants to see us. Last year, I gave a series, and it's about who you say I am. And I went through a list of sayings that God speaks over our lives in Scripture. I can't remember them all off by heart, so I don't expect you to. But the truth is, God makes declarations over our lives that we are to believe about ourselves. Things like we are whole, that we are the head and not the tail, that we are that he is for us and not against us. All those sorts of things, and I can list them off. I should have written them down. But the truth is that God sees us in a totally different light and perspective than we often see ourselves. Many times And you have friends like this, but when I talk to people that are dealing with various forms of depression and anxiety, and their needs are very specific and unique, but the truth is one of the issues that all of us would struggle with in a state like that is that we can't see kind of past our own feet. We can't see to the other side, and that's part of the illness and the sickness that is those states of mind. But the truth is that God calls us to a much different plane, a much different perspective, that we would look at the whole picture. That's why when people come to me about things going on in the church, sometimes I look annoyed, I'll be honest with you. I may be like, yep, that's great. Like, I love the carpet stories. Our carpet's okay, so I can talk about it. But the truth is that, yeah, if the carpet's ugly, like, whatever. Like, I don't know. I don't think about those things all that much. Maybe more than some, but not as much as others, that's for sure. You see, Jesus sets the example of looking beyond ourselves to see God to do amazing things through us and for others. So just like last week we learned, let's all do our something. We need to look beyond ourselves. All right, that's the first one. The second one of the serving points is this. Follow the Father. All right, follow the Father. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 21 teaches us that God is at work. It's a scripture in the midst of this crazy events and different things happening in the book of Isaiah. But here's the truth that we're going to take from it. He is not idle. God does not just wait around. He does not do nothing. It says this in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 21. It says that he may do his work, his awesome work, and bring to pass his act, his unusual act. That's from the New King James Version, I believe. But the truth is that God is at work. He has a work that he wants to do. It is an awesome work. It has power and authority. You see, in all things, the Lord Jesus asks us to simply follow what the Father does. Simply follow what the Father does. Pastor Jason, how do you and Pastor Katie know where things are supposed to be headed for our church? Here's what we do. We ask God and we listen. And when he tells us something, we do it. It's not a crazy formula. We just follow what the Father would instruct us to do. Here's the word of the Lord today. God the Father will always accomplish his will. God the Father will always accomplish his will. You know, sometimes we get caught up in, did I ask God right? Do I have enough faith of what I'm feeling? Is this the right place for me to serve? I can't believe you how many times if I ask someone to be a part of the worship team, it's like, yes, right away. I've never had trouble finding people for the worship team. And then if I ask someone, hey, can you come in midweek, move the chairs or clean the toilets or do something that's not glamorous? Oh, Pastor, I really need to pray about that. Or Pastor, I am so busy. You would not believe the busyness in my life. And I'm thinking, you're here on a Wednesday afternoon. How busy can you be if you're with me on a Wednesday afternoon? Those are just examples that has never happened here. But the truth is that sometimes we get caught up in this thing of that it all rests on our shoulders. Sometimes I think even too highly of myself. At times, especially while I've been serving churches in a pastoral position, I've thought these things. I've thought, well, if I don't do this task, this job, or serve this purpose for the church, then nobody will. Nobody will do it. Nobody will get the job done. Here's the truth. That is not true. It's not true. And if I don't do something and it doesn't happen, then the whole church has failed. That I failed you. That's not how it's supposed to be. You see, God will find someone to accomplish his will. He'll always find someone. I've learned that when God asks me to do something, if I dwell on it for too long, let me pray about it, God. Let me wonder if this is actually you speaking. You know what happens? The Lord sometimes has passed me by. He's given it to someone that's been more willing, that's been saying that their first answer would be yes to God. You see, all of this does not rest just on one individual's shoulders. You see, God will find someone to accomplish his will. Have you ever been shopping and found a nice piece of clothing or an item at the store, and you've contemplated, you've been thinking whether or not you should buy that shirt or get that item from the store. Have you ever put that item at the back of the rack or the back of the shelf so that it would be harder for someone else to find that size or find that quality of item? You're laughing, so I know some of you have. I remember doing this as a young person. I love CDs, and I would go to the CD store, and I would find certain CDs, and I didn't always have the exact amount of money I would need, so I would grab the CD, put it at the back of the pile, or put it underneath in the extra storage where the store put all this stuff. Some of these CDs, I still have them. Sometimes I would leave the store and have hidden the CD somewhere. I didn't steal it, but I hid it somewhere in the facility, all right? Not in a bad place. But anyways, I hid them, and sometimes someone would find these things I would hide because I'd go back the next day or the next weekend, and they were gone. Or sometimes they would be there waiting for me when I got my paycheck that I needed to pay for it or whatever. But the truth is, as I just mentioned, sometimes they wouldn't be there. Sometimes I would miss out. Well, in a less disappointing way, here's the truth. God isn't waiting for us to decide whether we are going to be a part of his grand plan. He's not waiting for us. I don't mean to be rude, but don't think so highly of yourself. He's going to accomplish his will no matter what. You see, God isn't waiting for us. You either get on the train or you miss the train. It's gone. It's not there anymore. You see, when it comes to serving, we are only confined by what we believe God can do through us. Pastor Jay, I cannot be in the parade. I can't walk. How did you get in here? How did you get in here? Pastor Jay, I can't be an angel because, I don't know, many of you are angels. You didn't use that excuse. But the truth is, we are only confined by what we believe God can do through us. That's the only way we're confined. So as we reflect on who we are as a church, here's the truth. We are servants of the humble King. We are servants of the humble King. You know, when we read scripture, Jesus never said no to serving. He didn't. Even to give his life over to death for each and every one of us. He never said no to serving. So we are a serving people, or we are serving. So that's the first thought for today. Our second one is this. We are filled with power. We are filled with power. I said at the beginning we were starting with the illustration of the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to end with the work of the Holy Spirit. If you turn to Acts 6, verse 8, I'm going to read verse 8 and verse 10 of Acts chapter 6. This is the story of Stephen and what was going on in his life, and we're not going to unpack the whole thing, but I want to take a look at one of the statements made in these scriptures, and I believe they have significance to us today. Acts chapter 6, verse 8 says, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people." Verse 10, we'll skip to verse 10. "But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking." So let me go back to the top. "And Stephen, full of grace and power." So our first thought is this. We are filled with power. Number three, power. We are full of grace and power. You see, I'd love this scripture to be said of us, to be said of the believers in this house, in this church. You see, last night I saw our people dancing and singing and celebrating. What if, in addition, as we rolled by in our train for that parade, if it was said of us that there go people full of grace and power? It's not just a parade of people and whatever. There's something on them that I can't explain. Obviously, someone probably wouldn't say that doesn't know God, hey, they're full of grace and power. But they can see something upon us. I heard people saying the angels literally glowed last night. Maybe they did. but that we would be people full of grace and power. The power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you. It dwells within me. That's what's within us. It's not just a happy thought, a thing, a ticket to heaven. It is grace and power that you and I are full of today. I expect a great move of God in our people. You see, last week we had a children's ministry meeting that I attended. One of the things that was discussed is that in this house, in this church, that it would be normal for our kids to see mighty works of God. That it's not, oh, that happened one time. No, that happens every week. Everywhere we go, we see people changed and healed and set free. And that it wouldn't just be a lunar eclipse moment like, woo, look what happened. No, that is a normal occurrence that when we lay hands on people, they're healed and set free and restored, that lives are changed. You see, we need to expect God to do extraordinary things in this place. You see, we are a wisdom house. We are full of power and witness. John 15, verse 26 says, but when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Here's our fourth and final thought for today. Power filled with the helper. You see, we have an advocate on our side. Church, the Holy Spirit is here to help us today. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. He is fighting our battles on our behalf. I love these some of these songs that have been written recently about miracles and God's power, that he is fighting even when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it happening around us. He is working on our behalf. He is conquering. He's accomplishing his will on our behalf. You see, church, we must always believe in the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I've just, maybe something's gone crazy in me since I moved into Espanola. It's possible. But the truth is that I'm tired of coming to church and nothing happening. That is boring. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of our time. It's a waste of my time. Like, God help us. Like, I just can't. We need to see God move in powerful ways. And we have seen God move in powerful ways. It's not we're asking him to do it and he hasn't done it yet. He is moving in powerful ways on our behalf. Church, as I look across our main points for today, I'm reminded by Holy Spirit of this. Val, if you could throw up this next slide. We are to look, follow, and we will be fulfilled. Church, we are to look, follow, and we will be fulfilled. In a world that is crying out for help on so many levels, you could all throw answers at me, but this world is crying out for help. And I believe the only answer is Jesus. That's it. I know it's not maybe a popular answer. It's not one that everyone wants to accept. But he is the answer. That's it. I can't explain it any deeper than that. Maybe I'm just not smart enough. I don't know. But he is the answer. You see, we look to him. We follow him. And we are filled with him. And we are fulfilled by him. Right? That's what the word of the Lord teaches us. So let's put this into practice today. Jackie, I need your help. Sorry, I didn't warn you. Let's ask Holy Spirit to come today. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill us today. Right where you are, what we're going to do in a moment is we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. And some people may not be interested in this. But here's what we're going to pray, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think what we can agree on is that we want more of God. Do we not? Do you not want more of God in your life? A few people in this room will remember this. At Alpha, we were talking about healing last week, miracles. And I was sharing at my table. Everyone had a chance to share, but one of the things I shared was that I've seen God move in ways that I can't always explain, would be the nice way of saying it. And a long time ago, I used to say things like, if I can't explain it, then it's not true. I used to say things like that. But since I've yielded what I think God can do over to him, I've seen God work in power and glory in my life. So I don't worry about explaining things anymore. One of our main theologians in our assemblies, I was in a class that I took with him, and he was teaching that when you ask the Holy Spirit to come, things get messy. And there's really not a better way of saying it for me. If we're going to ask more of God, it's going to get a little messy. And not messy like people are going to be stabbing each other and, you know, people running out of the building and all that kind of stuff. No, no, no. But it doesn't always, A doesn't always equal B. It's not always a fair comparison to what's going on. What happens here may not happen over there. But what I know is that I want more of God. One of the things I want to do at some point, I don't have a plan, so don't ask me when I'm going to do it, but I want to have a supernatural teaching course at our church for a certain amount of time. And the statement I want us to begin to be familiar with is that supernatural things are natural occurrences in this house. That supernatural things are natural occurrences. And you may say, Pastor Jay, I've heard pastors speak about this before. You're off your rocker. You've been drinking that Espanola water for too long. But here's the truth, church, is that, and I don't think anyone's in this room that this applies to, but I just want more of God, and I'm just going to keep pushing. I'm going to push so that people are healed from cancer, like Alex and Connie's daughter was this week. I want to pray so that when people's spouses go into the hospital and have a procedure, that God does something awesome and the doctors can't explain it. I want to pray so that when I see Richard last year at the pharmacy and he can't see, that now he can. That's what I want to pray for. And you know what? Yeah, you can clap for that. That's a good thing. Pastor Jason, how do you explain those things from happening? I can't. I wouldn't even bother, to be honest with you. All I know is that someone was sick, and now they're not. Some part of their body was broken, and now it's not. I can't tell you why. Well, Pastor Jay, why does God love Richard more than me? Well, I could probably talk for a while about that. Oh, but the truth is, church, is that when we pray for people, God sometimes, a lot of the time, does stuff, right? And when we don't pray, what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. So that's why I want us to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill us today. As Pentecostals, we get caught up in this thing of, well, if I speak in tongues, I've got the Holy Spirit. If I don't speak in tongues, I don't got the Holy Spirit. We're going to believe together today that as we pray, that we are being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you speak prophetically over my life, I believe that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. If you pray for people and their situations change, I believe you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Do we need the Holy Spirit? Yes, Jesus tells us we need to ask for a second filling of the Spirit. Does everyone have the Holy Spirit on us? Yes, when we ask Jesus into our life, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. But the truth is, we're not going to ask God to fill us one time. I'm going to ask God to fill me every single day. When I meet with my family at Christmas, I'm going to ask God to fill me so strong with the Holy Spirit that when I shake their hands or give them a hug, that the power of God transfers from me to them. And I'm going to pray it every time. I'm going to pray it every single time. I can't talk about this without getting worked up. But I've prayed for people in my own family that have despised God. And I prayed, God, would you fill me so that we can pray for them? And what does he do? He fills us so that we can pray for those that are against God. The hardest of hearts I've seen turn to Jesus. So today when I say I want us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm not speaking out of inexperience. I'm not speaking because I drink too much Espanola water and I'm gone crazy. I'm speaking because it's true that when we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that blind eyes are opened, that muted deaf ears can hear again, that broken legs are made whole, that broken arms are put back together. I can't explain it.